Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's consideration is recorded in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 and following. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ, all of us have images that we can retrieve from our memory, poignant ones. One vivid image in my memory was that day when I looked back, and there in the back was a young soldier sitting on his haunches in the back of the helicopter that I was piloting. He had a drug-induced faraway look upon his face from the morphine, and there where his legs used to be, there were two stumps and some bloody fatigues that were left over, victim of a landmine. I was a senior first lieutenant, almost ready to make captain, and by that time I was well aware of the power, the authority to go and give commands, to ask somebody to go do this, to go do that. But yet at a moment like that, you start realizing what human authority and power you have not. There was no power at all over that man's life and what had happened to him. Today's text really speaks about another kind of an authority, one that all of us have in the church, and I have as a called and ordained servant of the Word, an authority to announce to you the forgiveness of sins, and in some sense that takes us far beyond any kind of a human authority that we can have. Now, what have I done here? I have used a form of flashback to give my current words a frame against which to measure them, from a personal story. And whether you thought about it today or not, the text that I just read, that you may have been reading or looking at yourself, is not an Easter text, even though verse 4 makes it sound like a post-resurrection text. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. It is really a flashback. It's a flashback to Maundy Thursday, Jesus in that upper room given his high priestly prayer. It's Holy Week, the night in which Jesus was betrayed. So then Jesus had not then really completely finished his work, even though in some sense he had. He was now ready to go and die. He had spent the 3 years preaching, perfectly keeping the law, so in that sense it was done. But the real work of dying upon the cross still was ahead. Flashback texts like this, Maundy Thursday texts, you might say, here in Easter, can really provide a striking way of seeing God's truth even clearer and realizing that back then, in those days before Jesus had died, he already saw himself, that's the kind of faith he had, as accomplishing the work. He saw himself having glorified himself and having taken our sins and removed them to Calvary. We might ourselves, when we take a look at this text, realize also that the authority that's going on here is far above and beyond any kind of authority that any of us have ever practiced before. Now, some of us may be college presidents or seminary presidents. Some of you may have had leadership positions, and some of you may in the future have a tremendous number of people who answer to you, over whom you have authority. We might have authority to command someone, authority to spend millions of dollars. We might have authority over thousands. But God the Father has given his Son a kind of authority that is spoken about in this text that goes beyond anything that we have. The text tells us it's authority over all flesh. And that is a very pregnant term when you consider that the very God of the universe has the power to reverse what happens to us in the grave as we decay. By the power of that word, he can bring us all back. That is a real power over human flesh that none of us have. But really, what kind of authority is it? And the text goes on to tell us, authority to give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Authority to give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Are you one of those that the Father has given authority to the Son to give eternal life? And why do you think that? You are a sinner. You have a rebellious, covetous heart, or adulterous eyes, or guilty hands, or troublesome feet that have taken you where you shouldn't go. Examine your conscience. Why should you go to heaven? It has power to give eternal life to as many as you have given him. This is a doctrine of election. Not everybody is going to be saved. It is that none of us have any hope in the world. But it was that very reason that Christ came to redeem all people, to bring everlasting life. God came from eternity, took on human flesh, came to earth that we might know him. And listen to the text. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This biblical text is really about authority to give eternal life, but it could not be an evident reality until Jesus died, rose, ascended, and was in session at the right hand of God as the ascended Savior. So it's not just authority, but it's glory that is talked about in this text. And that's why you can see he repeatedly says, glorify the Son, glorify the Son, glorify the Father. Those leitmotifs ran through this text. All throughout his life, Jesus had been a humble son, giving glory to his Father. But now he was ready, according to his human nature, to take back the unlimited use of his glory that he had from all eternity. He was ready now to go and to become, once again, the one who used all of his power. At times it had peeked through in his miracles, in his ability to read minds, in those bright show of lights that came about. But now he was ready to take it back fully. That we are examining these requests by Christ made on Maundy Thursday when they were not yet a reality in the Easter season should remind us again that Jesus fully carries out everything that he intends to do. And when he says to you, I forgive you all your sins, he intends to carry that out and has in fact done it upon the cross. And this is not then all only about his glory or the Father's glory. It's really about your glory. That's the text that's beyond this text, as Paul points out in Romans 8. Listen to this. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So let me give you some Easter images to finish with. By God's authority, Jesus has given you everlasting life. He called you to believe in Jesus Christ, who is eternal life, and in that faith you have a future glory. Those are images that are hard to grasp hold of. But faith grabs hold of the promises of God, and not even the images that are there. It grabs hold of the promises that are given to us in the Word. As our Easter high priest, each day Jesus Christ sits on the Easter throne of grace, interceding on our behalf, reminding the Father that our Easter justification, our Easter redemption, is complete. So let me give you this image that all of us have heard of before here to take with you, one that's very familiar to us. I began with images today, but this is the important one, isn't it? On my heart, imprint thine image, blessed Jesus, King of grace. Amen. O God, you enlighten this most holy night with the glory of the Lord's resurrection. Preserve in all your people the spirit of adoption which you have given, so that renewed in body and soul, they may serve you in all purity through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.